I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
What the fuck's happening, people? Welcome to the Jan and Bander podcast on the 4th of January, 2019. Happy New Year, Maureen. How are you?
Happy New Year, Colin.
I like your jammies. It's 8 in the morning and this is our second time at recording this podcast because I was like, why did that camera cut off? And I'll tell you why, because it was on, but it wasn't recording. And it's a great start to the year. And do I want to smash this mug in my face? I do. Because that's the sort of mood we're in. I'll say this again, Maureen. You can chat amongst yourself because you've heard this again. I have nothing really to plug. The gig at the Limelight tomorrow sold out to fuck. Having not really fucking promoted it whatsoever, because I'm bad at that.
And there's a lot of messages from people asking, can they please get a ticket? Can they please get a ticket? And a flurry of excuses of why they weren't able to get a ticket beforehand. But I don't know what people expect us to do. We can't, there is only so many.
This is why sometimes, you know, I think like you actually don't need a run up to sell a gig.
Well, yeah, you don't need one.
You need about a week. Like literally we've done gigs in move over this way, Maureen.
Oh, sorry.
We've done gigs in you know, for charity and stuff that we did that we booked on the day and people turned up. Yeah. The place was full. So like it's one of those things, it's like fucking what do? You give people 3 months to buy tickets and then they leave it to the day before and then do you know what?
A lot of shows are a year in advance, for goodness sake.
So. Do you know what? Fuck people, because why does everyone think that they're so special nowadays that they're beyond the very, like, what's the word? Like, democratic way of getting a ticket?
Yeah.
Egalitarian way to purchase a ticket? Nah, I missed my chance, but I want another chance. That's not how it happens. You're closing down your shop. Can you open for 10 more minutes to make me a sandwich? No, we shut at this time every day. We have 12 staff. No, but me.
People, there's someone actually did say, can you ask Ticketmaster for at least 2 more tickets for me? And they're like, that's not
who, like, who is Ticketmaster? Ticketmaster is like a fucking computer.
Yeah.
Hello, Ticketmaster. Janine wants 2 tickets.
See, the funny thing is, we pay Ticketmaster to, like, deal with your tickets, so we don't have to. But what then ends up happening is people still message us as if we are literally in a shop front handing out tickets.
Oh yeah.
You can't do anything about it.
If I had a fucking lunchbox full of tickets, that would be better.
We don't go around people's houses like, do you want to buy a ticket?
Like a fucking GAA club?
Yeah.
Do you want tickets to see fucking Strictly come dancing?
Ooh.
So yeah, the gig's sold out and there's no more tickets. There might be some like, I actually think they're guest list tickets is what they call them.
Like they hold over a...
Yeah, and if I don't have 30 mates going to it...
It's not even that much,
isn't it? No, it's not. But they're release some on Saturday morning, but...
Sometimes they'll put up on the page, like if they're selling one, but...
Yeah.
Sometimes people can't go last minute, but...
But if you keep your eye on my social media, I might post a thing for some more tickets on sale. And that's it, really. I've no t-shirts to sell you, unless you want the fucking large-sized hoodie. Or a general t-shirt or a general Bander podcast t-shirt.
That's all that's left, isn't it?
Why don't you buy one of those in the meantime? And then the Patreon is still rolling in. You know? Even though I've refused to do a podcast in 10 days. I'm sorry, guys. But it's new year, new me. And there'll be a lot of focus going on the podcast. And also, I don't have a single gig booked beyond Saturday. So I'm going to do fuck all for a while, except podcasting and lifting weights. You know what I'm saying? Just getting that fat neck and getting a load of goddamn fucking things. I'm playing this intro. Fucking fuck my ass. Up in here. Podcast with Paul and Jettis. Right about now, baby. I want you to get yourself a
your soul together. This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather of soul.
Poland Jettis.
It's Geddes, actually.
Jettis.
Geddes.
Jettis. Jettis. Jettis.
Fuck you. I feel like that's too long now. Do you know when we're doing these podcasts, I'm like, that's way too fucking long.
Think so?
Yeah, because what my next plan is to make for the people who watch online, like a video intro over that music so that it cuts away so that I can do whatever I want, jump around, my testas out. Testas.
Oh, that'll be exciting. So we've got literally like 15 seconds to be like, woo.
Mm-hmm. Were you counting that? Is that what it felt like?
No, I was just guessing.
Fuck, I feel like it's 30. I feel like it's longer than that. I don't know. Anyway, it was Christmas morning and then there was New Year and we all drank too much.
Yeah, and now it's January.
Now it's January. Are you feeling... I'm actually excited to be in the new year.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I could... Don't you dare yawn. Don't you dare yawn!
What? New year, new me?
Karate chop and the Warren's hungover because she had a full Terry's chocolate orange yesterday.
Oh, I know.
Merry Christmas, Christmas.
There was one left that someone else didn't get and can't resist.
Me. Because we're on the skinny train to the fuck guttersville.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? I was talking about this yesterday because I recorded a bit of a start of a podcast just to test it out.
Oh.
And I ran absolutely out of steam because it was like 11 at night and I just went, I can't be arsed.
Because you got a new camera?
I got a new camera and I was just sort of testing it out. I mean, you know, it's not one thing, it's another. You know, you buy the new camera and you're like, yes, it's a GH5. It's one of the few cameras that records constantly. Like, down in the corner there, you see the remaining recording time left, 3 hours.
Brilliant.
But then the other problem you run into is you need to fucking have battery power to power that. So that's my next issue.
I know this is every time Colin, like, buys new equipment. It's like, oh my god, amazing, got this new thing. And I was like, well, I do need
but it's but it's more, it's the same as anything. It's like you do makeup, you go like, I bought 10 brushes, and then you're like, but what I actually need is 3 sets of those 10 or so. You know what I mean? It's like you always need another thing.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like, I'm gonna have to buy a big fucking dirty battery pack to stick on the bottom of that to power for this goddamn podcast. But hopefully the video quality is better, because people are like, the video quality's got worse.
Which is annoying today, because I feel like we're the most tired looking today. Like,
I mean, this camera shoots in 6K, so you could literally just see the disgusting faces that we have.
I was actually really hoping for a kind of a grainy image today.
A grainy image?
Mm.
I'll rub some oats on my face later.
Okay.
That's a grainy image. It was Christmas. The food was amazing at Christmas, wasn't it? But the sad always thing is, I maintained weight, which... You know, I'd have killed it at Slimming World early New Year, wouldn't I? Call maintained weight, which is actually scary because everyone binges out at Christmas and I just ate.
And that's just your normal.
And I sit in the fucking shop morning and I just ate normal. I just ate the normal amount, you know? So I just, you know, drank and ate the normal amount and I'm the same weight. Sad.
Yeah.
Sad fatness.
But you're really going for it this year, aren't you?
Well, if it's the camera with no battery or the chairs that don't fit under the giant table, I'm about to fucking flip this table.
You're really in like a jolly New Year's mood, aren't you?
I am. I'm so angry. I'm so fucking angry.
Why?
Why? How can she slap? I'm not really. I'm just like, where does this end? You know what I mean? The camera costs a fortune. And I can't even fit under my desk. But yeah, all the lads are serious. Dave's like, listen, I've got a child now. I'd like to see her 10th birthday. Aaron's like, that's it. I've spent a year in LA slopping about like a walrus. And now I'm like home and I want to get skinny. And I'm like, that's not how you do it, bro. You go to LA and you eat quinoa, you know, and play the Irish card and hopefully someone on your neck. But I think everyone's pretty serious about it. I'm so serious about it. I went to bed last night starving. But I suppose you got to get used to that for the first while, don't you, Maureen?
Have you ever felt the sensation of hunger before?
No, I thought I was going to shit and be sick at the same time. And
how
then
are
I was
you
like,
today? Because
it might just be hunger.
You're still alive, you know, so that's one.
Well, how am I
you
today?
You didn't starve to death.
I didn't sleep too well because you kicked me out of bed.
No, you were literally the most annoying person to beside.
I did a lot of weights yesterday and I got this weird like cramp in my calf while I was sleeping. And it wasn't nice because I woke up and I felt like someone was eating my leg. And then I was like, I was like trying to like rub this thing in my leg. I was like, oh my god, that's so sore, like a knot of muscle it felt like. And then I was like rubbing it with my other like heel almost, because it was half unconscious. And then you were like, what are you doing?
But you're so large and you're just rustling and the whole bed's shaking as you're doing it, and you're just this rustling for 20 minutes.
Shout out to any couples out there, give us some advice. If there's any couples out there where the male is legit three times the weight of the female, does anyone have any sleeping techniques?
Anyone not in the animal kingdom who has encountered this problem?
Any interspecies couples out there where like a rhino's fucking like a cat?
Yeah, something like that.
You're so loud on the mic today, I don't know why.
I don't know why. What, you're supposed to be the...
Well, I don't know what happens. What I think is, like, whenever I plug two pairs of headphones into this, you come through really loud for some fucking reason, and I can't hear myself. I'm probably way louder. But yeah, even your mum was like, yeah, you got to get the fucking double mattress thing where it's like two different firmnesses.
Yeah.
Two different mattresses.
Sorry, I don't know why I said it like that.
Fucking get a mattress in there. Welcome to Maureen's Mattresses. Happy New Year. You got a mattress. You got a big fat husband that's fucking crushing up the bed. One half of the bed's made of pallets and with a blanket over it, and the other one's soft because you're late.
Soft.
Soft.
Right enough, though, that would be ideal.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm an absolute scumbag piece of shit who's had a terrible childhood, so I actually sleep better on the floor, on a blanket, probably. I'm like a homeless guy who, like, you get him a hotel room for the night and he sleeps in the bath.
Yeah, you're like a dog. You said, honestly, Colin said to me the other day, I quite like the sofa because there's something behind me,
yeah,
and in front or above my head.
We bought a sofa.
So really, you need a cardboard box.
We bought a sofa from IKEA, and it's not a fancy sofa, but we bought it because it's modular.
Yeah, and it's large.
And you could, like, if you wanted your sofa to be fucking 8 miles long, you could just buy enough.
And like the width of a double bed.
Yeah. So we have that, but like I like sleeping stuffed up in the corner of it because you got a bit above your head and a bit behind your back. Essentially, it is like sleeping in a cardboard box. You know, and I sleep way better there. So last night I was like, I'm going down to the sofa. Even though there's another bed. Like, I could go.
But it's really squishy, so.
It's super squishy, so. Yeah, I'm just.
You can't sleep on it.
It's a piece of shit, Warren. It's a piece of shit lap dog. I'm going to have to figure out my sleeping patterns. And I was annoyed because I did get a cramp in my leg in my sleep, and I was absolutely shattered. Sleeping's terrible. Cocaine. Anyone know any cocaine or good mattress I could have?
Either
one is good. How was your Christmas, Maureen?
Really good. I really had a good time.
Everyone slept in. I cooked. Everyone went back to bed. So it was kind of like having a hangover day. Everyone just get up.
Yeah,
what's like, for dinner? Eat this. Back to sleep.
Yeah, get up. Have a wee drink. Have lovely food. Have a nap. Get back up again. Have more drinks. Have more food. It was just, what a great day.
What a great day.
Do you know what I mean? Great day. Boxing Day was good.
Boxing Day went to my dad's house. All the other days were good. His new girlfriend made the lunch, and he's all like, do you like your dinner? And I was like, yeah, thanks, Angela. Fuck's sake, over here, pretend like you made any of this shit.
You got drunk at your granny's house then. It's all good.
Fuck, I didn't even. We did land up to my granny's with a carry out, though, and just start cracking open bottles of cider.
And that's what Christmas is all about.
She came out with all the snacks. You know when your granny's just like, take it all, and you're like, stop bringing things out. We just had a dinner, and she'd be like, I got these crisps. They're smelly crisps. Smell the crisps. And they're like fucking, what was it, like Rockford and onions or something? They smell like an anus, but here, eat them. I had two asshole flavoured things over Christmas. One of them was an asshole, and they said, no, I had the asshole crisps, and then fucking, we went for like a wee New Year's thing up the road here.
With the cheese.
Some of your extended families. And there was one cheese that, like, it smelled like someone's dirty asshole that they played tennis for 4 hours, you know?
I've never really smelled a cheese like that. And it looked like a cheese I've smelled before, but it wasn't. It looked really mild.
It smelled like an asshole I've smelled before, but... But even Claire, saving? Like, it got open and Claire went, by the way, I didn't fart. That's literally that cheese.
Yeah.
Which is funny because imagine you have to warm someone like, by the way, I didn't shit in my pants. That's food. That's food that someone's opened. That's not scat in my knickknacks. Show me your knicks. I ordered a thing out of Bowtree. Shout out to Bowtree, sponsor the podcast. Best Thai food I've ever tasted in my life. Being around the world and never tasted Thai food like that.
And we're going to go tonight for Thai food. And it's the second time we've eaten Thai food this week.
Yeah. And we had to go to a lesser but more expensive Thai place, which I was very upset about. But you just got to hit, you got to get that fix, you know? You're like, give me those noodles and those prawns.
As soon as they open somewhere, like a really good, like you can just walk in really quickly and get like a takeaway. You know what I mean? Like a little box or something made up really quickly.
Yeah.
That would be ideal.
I mean, the problem is with Thai food, they actually do make it fresh. Yeah. So it takes you a second or two. What do you want to say there? I got a thing at a Bow Tree one time and it was like ground chicken and something with something and something and lettuce.
Oh, that's a good description. Why don't you do audiobooks, Colin?
And the dog entered and ate its dinner, which was something, something with a side of something. I don't know what the food was. It was some sort of slice of something, but my goodness, did it smell like an anus. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. But I ordered that ground chicken thing, and I'm not being funny. It smelled like dog's shit.
Yeah.
It smelled like shit from a dog's asshole.
Fish sauce is disgusting.
But it was smelling. It was something else. I've had fish sauce before, but I was like, literally, like, I was worried. I was like, so you've put in, you know, some spices, some chili, and they have a bowl of shit, and the guy just takes the ladle and just bit of human shit in there. But I'll tell you what, it was fucking delicious. And it also was one of the hottest things I've ever eaten in my life. In my life? Pet? I was sweating, and it's one of those places. See, when I'm going to be like Yo Sushi if I open a restaurant where there's a tap at the table.
Yeah, for water.
See all this horse shit? We were like, can we get a jug of water? And they're like, yeah. And then they bring you like the hotel glass full of water. And you're like, this is Thai food. I know what the problem is. It's bring your own booze, that place. So they don't expect to fucking get you anything. So if we're going tonight, I'm going to go in with like a 2 liter of fucking River Rock and drink it all.
It's one of those camel packs of water.
Yeah.
That really cool.
Just sucking away on it on my shoulder. Camel pack, but I would need a big one because it would look so small on my back. It would look like a bum bag in the middle of my back. And also, what amount of water is in that? I'll drink that in fucking couple of goes. Sup.
So funny how you make out like such a big deal about water if we're going anywhere to eat. That's Colin. You could be having the nicest meal ever, but like, there's no water.
I used to have like sort of extended family, and I remember being around at their house when I was a child, and we're eating our dinner. And I didn't know, just people, you know when you go to someone's house and they just have weird rules?
Yeah.
And they were like eating, and so I was like, can I have a drink? And you get a drink when you're finished. What the fuck sort of Nazi shit is that?
But
you can have a drink when you're finished? Okay, I'll just choke.
You're not supposed to like drink as you're eating, so it's like helps you
yes.
eat and digest, no?
Probably. And also you probably get full quicker, you know what I mean? Like, imagine that. That's like fucking torture. And I remember because it was spaghetti and something and something. Spaghetti bolognese. So we're eating spaghetti bolognese. Like, can I have a drink? No.
Whoa, that's
you
weird.
Fucking Nazi bastards.
And since then, you've been on a mission.
Just give me fucking a bottle. There's certain places I go to and they just go and they set the water down. And I go, good. Bottle of water to myself. I've been, where have we been? They had 2 bottles of water, and I was like, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. Give me 2 bottles of water.
Bottles or jugs?
Jugs, whatever. Give me fucking too much water. And fill it up. You know, where was it? Oh yeah, LA. That Mexican diner. That's the sort of service I want. You take one sip, I give you no water, please. You take one sip.
Every time you sip, yeah.
You take one sip, Mr. Carlin. You enjoy your something and something with a side of something. Doesn't smell like shit. Thank you. Yeah, that one in Bow Tree smelled like dog's shit. But that's, you know, that's the world for you. You know, you travel the world and some food tastes like it's not food. It tastes like it's poo-poos. And once you get past that, it's usually gorgeous, you know. It's like blue cheese. Or there's a lot of things smell like shit. Cheeses, you're like, what's this? Dick flavor? And then you eat it and you're like, beautiful cream.
Beautiful dick flavor.
Dick, creamy dick. There was, that's my porn name. My name's Creamy Dick.
Oh, God.
There was actually a Hungarian sausage there because, you know.
What was his name?
But someone was like, oh, yeah, it's a Hungarian sausage. And then Anya was like, oh, it's a very creamy sausage.
It was actually Susie said that.
Oh, it's a very creamy sausage. I was like, don't, like, as I'm putting it in my mouth, I'm like, don't say creamy sausage.
I think it just meant it didn't taste like a sausage. It was very soft.
It was like stuffing is what it tasted like.
Just yeah, creamy sausage. Perfect description.
No, that's not creamy.
Perfect
silky.
Description.
Silky.
What, you want silky sausage? That's what someone said. So I'll silky sausage.
My name's Silky Sausage. You got that silky sausage, baby.
Right, we're not even talking about Christmas dinner anymore. We're literally talking about just food we're eating.
Yeah, fat in or general. What? So what we're saying is there needs to be weight lost. I was looking up 90-day transitions. Cut your dick off in 90 days. Transformations. But you can do some damage in 90 days.
Oh, yeah.
You see, there was this wee fat black dude, and he was, like, posing, and he had quite the booty on him. You know what I mean? If you just showed me the ass without the face, and I went, who's got a creamy sausage now? I'm joking. But
silk my sausage, guys.
Silk my sausage up. And fucking 90 days later, just regular black guy. He went from a fat black woman to a regular black dude.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can really, if you can commit to anything for that long, it's a really long time actually. But it's not really a long time either.
I mean, I always put it like this. You know, if you were really terribly sick for 3 months, you'd lose serious weight. And that's what getting fit is. Pretend like you're malnourished for 90 days and come out with a six pack. I'll tell you something. If I keep these workouts going and I keep the calories below 2,000, the weight will drop off. And I'll tell you why. Because that workout yesterday, I couldn't even finish. I had zero fucking grip in my arms and my hands. And I just had no energy. I've never felt that. We were like, no, I think that's why people take pre-workouts and stuff. I literally just ran out of energy.
Mm.
I was like, I cannot fucking.
What time of the day did you
I also did a decent bit of rowing before. Well, I did it like mid-afternoon. But I rowed quite a bit before. Very, very fast. I rode like 2,000. It's not a lot of meters. I did 2,000 meters, but I did it at quite a high pace to try and warm myself up, which is probably why my knee's sore, which, believe it or not, it's one of the few things would fuck my knee up. And I'm up in the middle of the night poking it with
it
sticks.
It is the one thing about you. You've motivation to do really hard workouts, which usually is the hard part of trying to do a health thing.
Do the health thing!
Okay, bye.
We're all in our jammies today.
I know. Are you turning the heater on?
Yeah, I'm sweating,
bro. Well, look, the sun is just about coming up.
Tesco's for
well.
The Avengers fucking
Colin, have you seen
bombs.
Any of the Avengers films?
Yeah, I've seen Avengers, the fucking good one. Not like the nine versions after it. I've seen the one where the Hulk just fucking smashes that dude in the floor. That gave me such a silky sausage at the time. I mean, the Hulk's such a shit one. You're just like, what are you, angry? Why is that, bro?
You're like, I resonate with this film a lot when you watched it.
I mean, there's a lot of bodies in that movie that you would probably like me to have, you know? Who's got a sexy Avenger body? Thor?
Yeah, definitely Thor, obviously.
Yeah.
Easy.
I mean, that's one of those things you're like, oh, you could have a body like him. And you're like, no, not even a lot of athletes can have a body like him. You know what I mean? That's a lot to do with genetics.
Yeah, I mean, they're a gorgeous family, so, you know, what can you do?
Everyone would get rid real hard.
They all have silky sausages, I would say, if you were to ask me.
If you were to, but you're always like, who cares about the sausage? You're like...
I'm always like, never stop going on about that.
I mean, you're more like, have the big titties, have the big arms, have the fuck gutters go down your dick, and then literally you could have a fanny, and you're like, I don't care.
I don't think I said that.
You did say that. You're like, I'm not even interested. You're like, keep the scrote. I love a scrote. She never said that ever.
No woman has ever said that. Ever.
Hashtag keep the scrote. That's my new thing.
Never, ever.
Silky sausage. I mean, how crazy is the world when you're like, you can look at people like fucking, you know, like Daniel Cormier. And he looks like shit. And he's an elite of the elite athletes. Like.
But his job isn't to look good, though, that's why.
But he couldn't, even if he wanted to.
No, he could, but...
I don't think so.
Doesn't need to.
He'd be a wee squat, fat bodybuilder if he did weights and stuff.
Yeah, but that's just how he looks, isn't it?
Mad. Madness. But I think, you know, I don't know, it's weird. The functional versus the beach thing is... There's a lot of CrossFitters where they don't look crazy, like, crazy physiques. There's some of them where they look weird because they're of the shit they do. You know, you get that fucking power gut where your six pack is like each muscle's about that long. But then maybe not giant tits, just big arms. You know, it's weird. It's a weird thing. It's
well, functional. It depends what you want to do, isn't it?
What I want to do? Just be able to, you know, put my socks on.
Well, then I wouldn't worry so much about any of this.
Of course I can put my socks on. I'm very flexible. I'm very explosive.
Yes, you are.
And I'm surprisingly fit, which is probably why most of the time I'm like, I'm all right. Do you need to lose weight? Nah, bro, I'm all right. But I absolutely do because I just want to get sexy with it, you know?
In a way, losing weight and getting fit can be slightly separate. That's the problem.
100%. Yeah.
They're not always hand in hand.
Eddie Izzard, for example, running a marathon a day and he's a fat old man.
Yeah, it doesn't always go hand in hand.
Nah. I remember, we'd call it lesbian tennis player. She was on Jonathan Ross years ago, and it blew my mind because I didn't know anything about anything at the time. She was just like, I think I would advise people to look after their diet rather than, you know, actually focus on working out. Well, and at the time, she was like a pro athlete, and I was like, what, bro? What's her name? Natina Retanilova?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Famous tennis player who's lesbian. Out all now, like. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Okay, I don't know her name, actually.
You know what I mean? Lesbian.
Okay, so she's saying, look after your diet. Yeah, it's definitely the most important.
Yeah.
I mean, be active, but if you're just talking about, like, just working out and not actually paying any real good attention to what you're eating, then eating bit is more important than just working out. Be active. But a lot of people think just working out.
I eat so much shit that I know everyone's looking after their calories and everything, but I'm like, this is how I know that I'm eating less calories, because I'm eating less meals. Like, I'm literally just like,
it's physically eating less times.
I ate my breakfast and I ate something for lunch and then I had some dinner and then I didn't really eat anything else. I think I had a yogurt. And you're like, that's how I know I've ate less, because I've actually just ate less times.
Because you.
And I know there probably is a calorie issue in there if you were eating like a pure pile of shit. But I'm literally like, oh no, on a regular day I'd have eaten two more times. So I'm just going to not eat those two times.
That is one way to do it.
And I'm starving. No, I'm not. I'm all right. Just live with it, bro. But again, it's that thing. Like last night, I was like, I'm hungry as fuck. But you're like, are you? Because if you were starving, your stomach would be rumbling and everything. You're just like.
I think, most people are really like habitual. They go, if you're used to eating before bed.
What did you call me?
I know.
A bitch.
But like, if you're used to eating before bed, every time before bed you sort of feel like you need something to eat so that you can like sell. It's like a routine. Like your body does have
routines. My dad for his whole life ate cereal before he went to bed.
It wouldn't matter
if he had 14 bottles of wine in him. He'd still be like, "There's a shred, is that?"
That's the thing. It's like your body, that's how it knows how to go to bed now.
With a wee belly full of shreds.
Yeah.
Which is lovely, really. You know,
it is lovely, actually. But yeah, if it's one of the things where it's like,
fuck cereal,
too much.
Never would I want cereal for breakfast. Give me it as like a snack before I go to bed.
Yeah, literally give me it before bed. Or watching telly.
I want the full meal. Do you know that guy Sean Duras?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen his, like, you know, all them boys do like play games on Twitch and all that shit?
No,
and
I don't.
He's got
that.
Like a, I don't watch it either, but I've seen it on vlogs. He's got a gaming room and the whole way around it is just like cereal dispensers, you know, like, right. You know those things you put 20p in and like cereal comes out.
Unreal.
Or sweets come out. It's like that, but just a fucking cereal all around. Crazy.
I love cereal.
The first fast food guys. So what's your favorite cereal? Welcome to General Butter Podcast, tackling all the big issues. What food smells like shit and favorite cereals? On you go.
I don't know. I mean, if you just could only have one, it probably would be Cocoa Puffs. Like. So, but I like all of them.
I don't know why that
give
was.
Give me
so,
the plainest
I don't know why
ones.
That was so cute that
give
you said
the
that.
The maddest there. Ones.
If I had to pick one, I would probably say Cocoa Puffs.
I would probably say.
But do you ever eat like a fucking crunchy nut cornflake and you're like, what in the fuck is? I don't even deserve this. You know.
Frosted Freddy's.
Crunchy nut corn. It's literally like a fucking dessert.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Or we were in America, those cinnamon crunch. Mm. End my life, you know? As I rearrange my nuts on camera. Fucking unbelievable.
That's all I did, actually, you know, like, quite a lot, was just eat cereal for dinner. Because I was like, do you know what? You can do it here.
I mean, yeah. I think if we went back to LA, we would sort of enjoy the finer things of LA. Because you get that shit out of your system where you're like, that Fat Sal's place was at the top of the street, and I was like, I have to get one. Like, and there was one night you didn't really have dinner, and I was like, I'm going to go up and get something. And I had it, felt sick immediately. Because there was essentially an Ulster fry in a bap. Oh.
You would be my advice to you to stop eating things in baps.
Yeah. God forbid I open a sandwich shop someday. Game over for all sandwiches everywhere. I'll make you a sandwich fucking out of anything. Won't I?
You do make a sandwich out of every meal, almost.
We'll be in a fucking Indian eating a curry. It's
in a sandwich.
And I'll be like, whoop, made a sandwich. How about that? I would make...
Colin imagine, never just eats a fry. It has to be all then put into the bread and made into a sandwich.
Imagine I... We sort of went for a breakfast yesterday and I...
That's the first time I've seen you actually eat things separately.
I got a fry and I... Like, I was being sensible about it because I was like, I'm definitely not going to eat a fucking soda. Like, I was literally like, I bet you a half a soda is like, I bet you it's like 500 calories. I don't know why. I don't even like soda. I don't know why anyone eats it. You ever see those places and they're like, you can get a filled soda and you're like, who is eating that and functioning? If you had a full soda with like fucking...
I couldn't do it.
Three sausages in it, an egg and two bits of bacon.
I do like soda bread, but it's hard to eat with a huge amount of other things, I think.
The only time I've seen it eaten correctly is probably your dad sometimes will just buy fresh ones and just eat it like with a piece of jam or something. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Like you just toast it, yeah. It's lovely.
But not frying it and all that. Yeah. Like imagine taking that and going, do you know what this needs? Fried.
Yeah.
Ugh. So basically, yeah, so I had the poached eggs, I had one bit of potato bread, I had the mushrooms. You know, when I broke it down, I was like, it's probably not that I didn't need to eat a sausage, but, you know, did a fucking fairly hectic workout after that. That made some sort of dent in it. That one creamy sausage. No one ever... Imagine you were like writing a fucking... You know, like one of those dirty ads where you're like... You know... White male. 32. Old as fuck. Creamy... Dick V's on the way. Creamy sausage. You actually don't really want anything in your body being creamy, do you?
No. Now that I think of it, no. No.
Got that creamy dick. What are good words to describe dicks? Clean.
Clean is worse.
Got that clean, creamy dick. Fucking clean dick, sir.
You can't really put that in an advert, though. It's clean, so that's what we've got, you know.
Anyway, let's talk more about our Christmas. Yeah. New Year's, the day before New Year's Eve, we had a wee bit of a piss. That was even more good food. New Year's Eve, quiet enough one down there. Dutch Frank had his mother and father over.
You think quiet enough, even though we didn't go to bed till like 5 a.m.?
Oh my God, I actually heard a bit. I was doing weights yesterday and like U105 or something was on just in the background. And I think it was that guy, Johnny Hero, and he did a bit. And I was like, that's a fucking decent bit of like... comedy, like it's no worse than fucking anyone else's seasonal Christmas jokes. I was like, that's an alright joke.
What was it?
He was like this is every conversation today. How was your Christmas? Oh guy, it was quiet enough now. And then he just did this bit where he was like, it's quiet enough now, Christmas Eve, you know, we wrapped the presents there and the kids went to bed and or whatever, called around and we ended up going to the pub and with 18 pints there and got back in up early in the morning, few drinks in the morning, got the dinner out of the way. And a couple of drinks in the afternoon, we nap and we held off to about 6 there. And then we went over to the pub and we're out there as well. And the next day, you know, quiet enough, we stayed in. We drank from about 3 o'clock and her ones were over from England. And he brought a crate of vodka, so we drank till 6 in the morning. And then next, and he just went on and on and on. Year's Eve, we weren't going to go out, but went out in the end and all. But and it was just like, he goes, everyone's like, it was quiet enough. And he goes, I was literally blocked for 8 days in a row.
It is so true, though.
I was like, that's not a bad bit.
Why do people constantly say it was quiet?
It's
quiet.
Just...
What do they expect? I don't know what they're expecting.
It's Northern Ireland or Ireland or Irish guilt or something. It's like...
You have to say like, oh, it's okay.
No one... I mean, the new thing might catch on where people are like, how was Christmas? And you're like, I was fucking blasted the whole time.
Like, my mum's all said that. She was like, she hates whenever people go, oh, you know, just quiet. She's like, oh, I had a great time. She'll go, I'll just tell people, oh, I never was in the house. I was constantly out full of people everywhere.
It's just, it's something about over here. People will say the thing and then contradict it immediately. Do you know what I mean? They'll be like, how are you, mate? And you're like, I'm dead on. All fucking, the dad died last week. And all. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'll be like, I am grand, mate. I'm grand and all fucking terminally ill, but sure. Like, they just, they do that. I go, I was quiet enough. Like,
everyone sort of apologizes for things before they've even said what they were going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if someone went, how was Christmas? I would probably go, I was dead on. But if you were actually to break it down, you were like, oh no, I was drunk a lot. And I...
No, if anyone asks me how was Christmas, I go, oh my God, I had such a good time. Everyone was home. We had a party pretty much every night.
That was like that advice from your what was it, your great uncle? Is that what he is? Pat?
What?
And the business advice was always like, if someone asks you how you're doing, and you're like, just killing it, bro. Killing it all the time.
That's not what he said, but...
Okay. What did he say?
He said you're doing well.
I'm doing well.
But you always can just say, we're great, it's all good.
Yeah, balling out of control.
Because if it is good, why not say it's good?
It'd be funny if he did say we're balling out of control and he's like an elderly man. Balling out of control, bro. You're looking at me weird, Mort.
Yeah. You're literally twiddling your thumbs right now.
Yeah, twiddling. So I had a couple of gigs over Christmas. Did a gig in the Errigal, which was a strange experience for me. Because, you know, I don't really... This year is the year of not gigging outside Lavery's or my own gigs, because what's the point, you know? Go in there, fucking dudes, like, go walk on stage. Everyone's like, One guy goes, hi, Colin. And I'm like, all right, mate. He goes, it's my birthday today. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck, like. And then he literally just ruined the start of the set because I couldn't get started. Because he was like, hi, Colin, it's my birthday. I'm 43. And I went, okay. Well, thanks for shitting on the room there. I'll just have to turn around and try and rebuild this now that you've fucked that up.
And everyone was people think when they say stuff like that, like, you know, like if you went to some sort of like, if you went to like a drag show or something, it's a lot of the time they're wanting people to like have things that they're there for so they can talk about it, because they're not maybe preparing full material. They're not. It's not a stand-up night, but it's funny.
A lot of drag queens are just sassy.
And they'll go at people. So sometimes people come, I think, to comedy gigs going, oh, I have something to give them here to, you know, oh, I can tell them it's my birthday.
I bet you
and then they can talk about that.
I bet you he hasn't prepared anything, so I'll tell him I'm 43.
And that'll be a bit of crack whistle. I think people do maybe think that a little bit.
And also, do you know what? This is why there's sexism. See women at comedy gigs, groups of women.
The worst.
And there was a group of girls at the front, and there has been groups of girls at the front of Lavery's usually, and they're usually brilliant. Like the ones at the last gig there, great crack. But I think it's when they get to a certain age where you don't get out that often, and then they're like, well, there's the wee comedy gig on. There was pockets of like 5-6 women, and you're just like, what the fuck is wrong with you bitches? Like, that's me, couple of gins in now, insufferable. You'd say something? No, you didn't. What do you mean, no, I didn't? I'm not in court, you fucking idiot. It's stand-up. Fucking, and I literally walked off the stage because I was so fucking sick of it, over to the fucking like little corridor where the staff stay, down the corridor, got my coat, left without speaking to anyone or getting paid. Just left, got in the car, came and picked you up.
So worth it?
Because Maureen did a full Jesus that day, do you remember?
I'm just going to lie here because I'm sick and I've got a wee sore throat and all.
Right, I'm going up to Belfast for this gig. Well, I might go with you and go out and all the drink. I don't know what that...
I'm literally already doing my hair.
I don't know what that bracket did, but fuck me, I am flying on all cylinders. Pew, 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 pew. And you're like, really? You couldn't talk or move or, you know, make yourself tea earlier? No, I'm all good. I'm all good. It was the tea that fixed it. That's me. 4 bottles per second.
Hey, it's all the vitamin C for the Terry's chocolate orange. It really, eventually it builds up.
Terry's chocolate orange.
And you're good.
The chocolate Baraka. That's my other name on Tinder. Hey, it's the chocolate Baraka back with a silky penis. Pew, 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 pew.
See, I just went and drank a lot of Prosecco in town while you did
work.
What sounds like
that I didn't get paid for.
A hard gig.
Also, we did a Lavery's, and there was some controversial stuff that happened online where some Queen's fucking politics graduate trying to make a difference in the world without leaving their fucking sofa. Now, this is so This is so fucking bitch. They screenshotted it on Facebook and then they shared it. They screenshot on Facebook and then shared it on their Twitter, which is literally what folks would refer to as an echo chamber. They wouldn't take the issue up with me.
Or on the page.
Or anybody who runs the thing.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, yeah, no, you mean like they'll just do it on their own profile, so it's only people...
Yeah, that's what an echo chamber is.
Okay.
You know, you get a lot of hate on a fucking tweet because you're saying it to like clones of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it could happen to me if I was like, do you know what? Fucking fuck all these, whatever. And like a load of 18 to 30 year old dudes are like, fucking right, Colin, I know what you're talking about. But I don't, because hashtag dead on mafia, you know what I mean? On the side of reason and dead onness.
I can't be bothered to slag things off.
I actually described myself yesterday as if I was in charge of it, I would be like a nice Hitler. That's what I said.
Really?
I said that.
Where were you somewhere that you had to describe yourself?
I was talking to your mum. Because something came on the news about that guy who beat a child to death. And I went, here's what I am. Very liberal until you fuck up. And then instant incineration. I want a portable incinerator. And they pull up outside that house and they go, guess what, bro? You don't even get caught. Get in the incinerator. Crisps up immediately. Actually, it was the dude who they were like, the state had tried to rehabilitate him, you know, like to de-radicalize some fucking ISIS guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got found with bombs and shit. And you're like, bro, what are you doing wasting time on this? Come get in the incinerator.
Well, I don't think you're Hitler. I'd say you're more just like into the death penalty then, is that what you're saying? Or just like after a certain point...
There's certain people
you're just, like the
dude that they're walking into the fucking police van. He's all fucking cocky and all because he fucking hit a kid on the head, like a child on the head, 17 times or something or whatever.
Yeah.
Hey,
3-year-old, yeah,
burn, get burning.
Yeah, you really do wonder what you know point their existence is. I mean, I actually do mean that really literally. Like, what
like if it's gonna exactly cost? If it's gonna cost money to feed this cunt in jail, feed him one pill and have it stop his heart.
I mean, it's funny that you can't say
death
that,
penalties where you accidentally, you're like, oh, did that work? And he's like, and you know, he's like, he's fucking some neurotoxin and he's like dying. Put that snake venom in that just thickens your blood until your heart stops. Oh my God, why bother? I bet you there's some countries, like, I seen a video from Saudi Arabia and the guy thought that his wife cheated on him and he beheaded her in the street. And that's the sort of stuff that we need to keep the society together. Imagine how polite you would be if you're like, even if he thinks I'm having an affair, I'm getting my head chopped off. You know?
So without any actual evidence, kill death.
Maybe the best thing is just to send that dude to prison. Oh, you killed the child? No, they should do. They should go,
well, other people will probably sort him out.
Do you know what they could actually do to that guy? They could go, okay, for the murder of a child, we sentence you to 1 hour in jail. Because that's about all you'd need if you're a child killer.
Yeah, usually criminals don't really see well to paedophiles or
go,
child killers.
Go on in there. You've been sentenced to 1 hour in jail. Can you survive? What a great movie! Can you survive 1 hour in jail? And they just throw you in there, and then fucking dudes just fucking butt fuck you with a knife.
But the other like inmates are told they're allowed to do whatever they want. Of course, no rules apply.
Prison purge. Oh my
prison
god!
Prison purge.
I should write for Hollywood. How great! What a great idea.
It's a good idea. Actually.
But the only thing is, To be on board with that, that's my fucking physio there. You'd have to somehow be on the side of the guy who has to survive. That's the only way that film could be exciting. You can't be on the side of the prisoners trying to kill this dude. You have to be a guy who got wrongly accused. Like, that'd be a good thing if, like, for really bad crimes, you get sentenced to 1 hour. And you just have to survive, but the guy gets wrongly accused and he has to survive 1 hour. I don't know. I haven't thought it through yet, but I will. You know.
Yeah, I don't know how this is going to end well.
Yeah.
In a happy ending, but okay, cool. Yeah.
And it's about a well.
I'm going to say this. I don't know if this could really work.
It's about a well-known mafia guy called Christopher Creamy Sausage Santorini. Yo, it's Creamy Sausage.
Oh, you've lost me now.
I don't know. I need to fucking work out the kinks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
Anyway, this woman screenshotted a picture of the lineup from Facebook and then took it over to her harem of cunts on Twitter and went, look at this. And then they all went, look at you for being woke. And what it basically was, same old story, same old shit. She, it was the lineup from Lavery's, and it was the Lavery's regulars who are there all the time.
Like I purposely wrote it like these were our sort of regulars. They're the most often to do bits. So
yeah, they're coming to try new material, and they're also my mates. You know, it's essentially I've booked my mates there.
But it's not even that. But it's like if you go to any big comedy club in the world, they have their regulars that are like the ones that have done enough comedy that they're quite good and you can kind of rely on them.
Yeah.
So you can have lots of other people in your lineups, but you'll always have one or two regulars scattered in there.
Mm-hmm.
Same as the Comedy Store in LA, for God's sake. There's the regulars and then there's the other
on
people.
On this occasion, it happened to be all dudes. And she, you know, it's such low-hanging fruit for someone who's trying to correct the world. You know,
just, what was it she actually said then?
She just went, new material, new year, new material, no women.
No women, yeah.
And you're like, so? We're not here to fucking tick boxes. It's literally, we're here to just make people laugh. And these fucking seven fat cunts happen to be the funniest people around.
And then
it's when it started to get like a bit fucking, you know, people just, I know, most of this podcast is me doing this, but they do that thing where they're like, oh, this just reeks of 5-year-old Tinder jokes that are either 5 years out of date or something. And then, yeah, I can almost smell the bootcut jeans and links off this. And I was so offended. I was like, you have no idea what us lads talk about. We send each other pictures of shoes all day. All the boys are Swagtown 5000.
You were more offended at the fashion comment, really.
I know. She's like, you wear links. And I said that. And I was like, I wear fucking Dior, bitch. Chanel.
Yeah.
It's like it's like Jay-Z's bedroom. All it reeks of bootcut jeans. My shoes.
Colin would wretch at a bootcut jean.
Do you know how many fucking outfits you could buy for the one pair of shoes I'm wearing? You fucking tramp.
It was a very big generalization she made.
Yeah.
Very, very stereotypical generalization, which is okay if it's like, sure that's what it's like.
If there's any group that can be stereotyped easily, it's them. They're hilariously predictable. You know? It's fucking ridiculous. I'm woke as fuck. You're like, you're not. You're literally Hitler with a fucking nose ring through the middle of your nose.
I mean, it was funny because it kind of opened up a bit of debate, like, because then some people were sort of not agreeing, but being like, yeah. And then other people actually came in. I think, I don't use Twitter, but, you know, I saw that some other people came in to sort of, and other women as well to defend you and Lavery's going, that's not the case at all.
Yeah, who's left on Twitter? Actually. Dickheads, basically.
But it's always that debate, isn't it? Like, why is there not enough women? Why is there not enough women?
Because there just aren't enough women.
We can't make more women be comedians. That's not a comedy club's job to like force people like to be like, right, we need more women.
It's a business, and
it's not the police force. We can't go, right, we're recruiting women now or something.
You have to make like people laugh.
As you said, like the currency is laughter. That's literally that's all there is to it.
Comedy is literally one of the most fucking, like, what is the word, egalitarian? Like everyone's on the same, everyone has this exact same chance. Go up, be funny, get more work. That's it.
Yeah.
And people are even fucking like, I think people are even, they don't even think they have to go through the regular process of getting good at comedy now. People have this other fucking thing where they're like, oh no, put me on, I do comedy. And you're like, that's not how it works. Loads of people do comedy. You have to be of a certain level to be able to come in here and actually deliberately make people laugh for whatever allocated time you have. Like, it used to be, the done thing was, you do an open mic, you record some sets, and you get a little highlight reel of your best shit, and then you send it to someone, and they have an idea of that. Now people are just like, oh, I did the Pavilion, give us a gig. That's not, I can't.
Yeah. You'll go on stage, and it will be silence for 10 minutes, and it'll be so awkward.
Some of the newer, fresher guys on the scene, like McKegney and Mark McCartney and everything, he sent me a clip of him doing very well. Yeah, have 5 minutes. Come back again. You know, that's how it works. But people are even so fucking self, what's the word, like, righteous. I don't know, but they're just like, I just give me a gig. I do comedy. Huh?
Yeah. Why aren't you giving women gigs? Who is there for us to give gigs? We have.
I want to do comedy. Can I get on? And I did a bit of a rant on Instagram, but it was like, this argument has happened a million times. There's just way more dudes doing comedy. There's a small percentage of the dudes that are actually good. And there's very few women doing comedy, but the percentage of good comedians still fucking applies.
Yeah,
so there might be fucking 1, 2, 3 people who even... I mean, I know more female... I don't even like using the term. Female comedians who've quit comedy than actually do it. And the truth is, shite, bar very few of them. Same with dudes. Most of them are shit.
Yeah.
And it's just not pleasant. It's like... You know, even if there are girls knocking about and they're doing open mics and stuff, they haven't been doing it long enough and they're like, oh, I want to do Laveries. And it's like, oh, I could put you on, whether you're a male or a female, but if you're at that level, you're just going to fucking eat shit and you're not going to like it. You're not going to want to come back. I'll be like, fuck knows how long it's going to take this person to get good. So, you know, you're not going to come back again. There's been dude comedians like at Laveries who... You've put them on just because you know of them on the scene, and you're like, okay, after the third time of you absolutely eating cock, you can't come back really for a while unless there's like word or proof that you've actually got really good.
But we're very like sort of just it's democratic like, about it all. We're
it's,
like,
it's,
just
like, it's like hiring anybody. If you fucking hired a guy to plaster your house, and he came one day and fucking it looked plastered, but the closer you looked, you're like, no, this isn't good enough. You wouldn't be back again. It's just like any job. And if she happened to be a female plasterer, it would be whether she could fucking plaster or not. It wouldn't be whether she was a female or not.
Yeah, like, I think it would actually kind of does shock me if people genuinely think we care if someone's a woman comedian or not, because we don't. It genuinely is just if you're good. If you're good, you'll get on. If you're good and we've heard about you and we've got some sort of proof that you have a stage presence and you can... You know, you can get on with the kind of nights that how we like our comedy club to go.
Somebody
then that's
goes,
fine. Then
some,
we'll
somebody actually sent me a message like, oh, no mention of Teresa Livingstone. And you're like, this isn't what this is about. You know, I shouldn't. I don't,
also, we're friends with Teresa.
Yeah,
we know Teresa.
And also, Teresa's not really like, she does fucking theatres. Do you know what I mean? And she has a whole fucking act and a set and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same as being like, Teresa, you want to do 20 minutes at fucking Laveries here? It's not...
Also, she
also,
does...
Also, she does Wonderfolk, so I can never get her on a Wednesday,
she
but like...
She does a gig on a Wednesday. We've tried to get her, so it's not... And again, people don't know that, though. They're like, oh, you've never tried on. Of course we have.
But she's not a... What I'm trying to say is she's not like a standard comic. She's a...
Yeah.
She's like a full act that...
Yeah.
You'd have to go see her full show, nearly.
Yeah.
But it's just like... I don't, you know, I like we need probably to go to more gigs, but I'm like, I don't know any local girls that are just saying, I love comedy, I write fucking comedy all the time, try and get stage time. You know, no one has that standard like mentality of a comedian. Like, oh, just like, I just want to get funnier, just write material, just try and stuff, that didn't work. I don't know fucking any.
No. They're just, well, in general, in Northern Ireland, there's not a lot of comedians, like if you talk relatively compared to other places. So, the percentage of women is a lot lower.
Yeah.
And as you say, the percentage of good comedians, male or female, is very small.
I know. I'm so tired of talking about it. Like
it is. It does get so boring.
Talk about it
why
so
would you
many
have to explain
times,
it?
But it's more the mentality
it's
of
those.
It's
more the bafflingness that someone would think that we are just like, oh, no women.
Well, it's just all those woke fucking woke tards. It's like, it's see the pick on a comedian because they're the only people publicly talking about a thing. It's so weak. You know, it's like, oh, you made a paedophile joke, you're a fucking piece of shit. No, and you're like, you're not outside a paedophile's house or berating them online. You know what I mean? You're not going deep enough if you really have hatred for this shit. A comedian's making a fucking joke or something. Or like a comedy lineup. It's just, it's
like of
complete
all professions, like comedy is the one thing. It really doesn't matter how you look, what you're, about you. If you're funny, you're funny. It's the least time anyone's going to be
but
like sexist.
It's literally how they can contradict themselves in one thing. It's like, this isn't very diverse. You know, this isn't very, you know, liberal or progressive. And then they slag you for the most superficial shit.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, you fucking idiot. oh, this isn't a fair representation. There aren't enough females being represented in this thing and blah, blah, blah. There's not a lot of diversity and whatever. But look at you, you boot cut wearing big fucking stupid cunt.
Look at you, you big ugly males, you stink. You know, it's like so petty and stupid.
I know.
But
David Dougherty Jeb was on one day, you know, and we're like, finally, we'll have a gay in here. And what does he look like? Big old white fucking oaf cunt. You know what I mean?
What can you do? Like
diversity. He likes a bit of creamy sausage, but he looks like the rest of us fucking walrus bitches. Must get him back, actually. He's very funny.
But there was someone like sort of defending it, like a woman. She was like, I can't remember what her name was, but she was basically going like,
I can't believe no one's
going
she was a woman.
To see. Well, I don't know. No one's going to see female comedy. She was like, yeah, she listed well, all these times. She was like, there isn't going to be female comedy whenever people don't show up at any of the shows or support women acts when they're coming over. She goes, how do you expect them to get on lineups then?
If we did a bunch of research,
you can't just expect them to go on lineups.
I mean this, you would be scraping together six female comedians.
I don't know how. Yeah, it'd be very difficult for us to get six, I'd say.
And I did a female only comedy night, apart from me emceeing it. I'll emcee it. Better be packed.
There would be not as many people we'd normally have.
It would be empty. And
not because of women, but because they're not experienced.
Little does she know, you booked the fucking thing near enough. And there's plenty of, like, not mentioning names, there's plenty of people I'm like, oh, I might put them on. And Maureen's like, why are you putting them on? Not funny.
Because I'm very like, I just know how the show's going to go if you put on certain people. So I'm the person walking around looking at the audience, making sure everyone's happy. That's my only job is to like, it's like you stage manage the show, basically.
Yeah.
So I don't care who you are, what you're like. Like half the time I'm not even looking at their face or looking at you. I'm looking at the audience. I don't care if you're a woman. I don't care if you're a man in a dress. I don't care what
the
you're
Empire,
doing.
The Empire's booked by a female. And
we're not doing
most
this on purpose.
Nights, it's all dudes. Most nights it's gonna be all like, men. Apart from the odd time they throw on a woman. If they can find them.
You do if they're there. And the thing is, it's like...
And I've seen, like, I've seen famous comedians, like, Holly Walsh was on The Empire one night I was on, and she was fucking bollocks. And here's the thing about comedy, right? We're talking about, like, oh, you know, like, everything's equal and everyone has the same sort of chances and all that shit. If you're a half-decent, I try to say this on Instagram, if you're a half-decent male comedian, there's loads of them. But if you're a half-decent female comedian, you will literally swallow up all that work. You will fucking have all the jobs. People will give you all the opportunity because they actually want the diversity. So they will... Say there was like fucking four guy comedians and a girl comedian and then they were all kind of reasonable quality. You'd take the girl one.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
Just a mix-up lineups.
We have done them before. And if people think we're not being diverse, we are the opposite. If there is a girl there, we're like, oh, brilliant, there's a girl we can put on the lineup. We actually try as much as possible to find times when that'll fit in.
Sure, it's like the
if there's anyone available to do it, but there's just not.
Here's a perfect example of it, that World Comedians fucking thing that Chris D'Elia was on. The UK one, they've went, there's Nish Kumar, you know, get a bit of Brown in there. Joel Donnett, is he gay? Who knows? There was somebody else, and then there was like May, whatever, Martin.
And Ellie Taylor.
Ellie Taylor, girl, the other one's a girl, but or whatever, but looks a bit transy. But it was Canadian or something. You're just like, you're trying to tick boxes before you're actually going, who is the up and coming best comedians in like the UK? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And say they did an Ireland one, which they, do you know why they probably don't need to do that? Because Irish comedians who get big get like very famous, don't they?
That's, yeah, sure enough, yeah.
But if they did that, like say even if they did a Northern Irish one, there would be rise because they would be picking people to tick boxes.
Yeah.
And everyone would be sitting at home going, why is fucking Mickey not on this? Or why is fucking whatever? You know what I mean? You wouldn't be picking the best ones. You'd be picking the ones that like tick boxes.
The worst thing you can do as comedy is to pick people because they're fitting in like an idea of how this will look good without it.
Has to be performance.
It only has to be performance.
They don't do it in any other fucking thing. It's like, oh well, we're picking a football team here. We'll put fucking Sanjeev right back there just because he's like Indian. And you're like, but he's really fat and he's shit at football. But you know, we'll fucking take it. You don't do that. You go, who's the fuck? you know, no one's like, this basketball team needs more white people. Do you know what I mean? They're like, no, we pick the biggest, best athletes.
Who's the best at it?
I don't give a fuck. But there is actually probably racism towards white people in basketball. But who gives a fuck? It's about being the best one.
Yeah. That's literally it.
Unbelievable. And I remember, what do you call her? Aisling B. On, what was she on? Bird Kreischer. She was like, if the Comedy Store in LA don't put women, more women on the banner, girls at home aren't going to think that it's a viable, you know, career path.
But why not? Look at Ali Wong.
Yeah, there's plenty of fucking hilarious women. Also, comedy's not a viable career path. There are many fucking just wounded soldiers who never could make a dent in the whole fucking thing.
Oh my God. I don't know. I think, do some people have this idea that comedy, you can just start and then you're just a comedian now, and that's it. I don't think people realize how long it takes to get good at comedy.
Yeah.
It takes so long.
I've been in stand-up 10 years this year.
And you've to eat shit so much, probably.
I've been in stand-up 10 years this year, and in a lot of people's eyes, it'd be like, oh, wee baby. You know what I mean? Like,
comedy, it's not a long time.
You barely started, like.
Most of the people, people who aren't into comedy, most of those comedians you're seeing on the, like, Live the Apollo, they've been doing it for 25 years. You see big lineups,
Bill Burr and all them ones, and they're like, oh yeah, I've been doing stand-up like 25 years, like 30 years.
That's how long it takes. So for someone to start comedy and go, you know, to us, can I get on Lavery's? What have you done? I've done the Pavilion once. No, you can't get on. You haven't done comedy yet. That's not how this works. Like,
yeah, it has
you
to.
Don't. That's not how. You just don't. It takes a long time, and it's not. It's a hard career for anyone.
But people,
so we doesn't, do you know what don't it is, care though? What you are, people, male, female.
People see things and they go like, it's the same way. Like if I announced, or if you put up a video from like, you know, the Limelight, or you put up one from Lavery's, or something like that, I'll get emails and people be like, do you want to do a gig? We're going to start a comedy gig in a barbershop in Ballymena. Because they see it and they go, oh fuck, there's money in that. And you're like,
and they don't see the work.
Yeah, you don't see that it takes 3 years of like Lavery's Comedy Club to fucking get it to the point where people actually want to go to it. There's nights you turn up and there's fucking 9 people. People just want to jump on things. They're like, oh, I can do that. That looks good. Or you do stand up for a week and you're like, I've booked the Opera House or something. You know, it's like people, they see other people do it and they're like, well, that's the very clear path that you run down. You go, I do this, I do online videos, I do that, and then I'm booking gigs on something.
Do you honestly think it's maybe something to do with the way social media's got now? That like people see other people's jobs clearly now. They see someone progressing or they see everything you're doing. So people do maybe have like a strange idea of other people's careers. Not just comedy, anything. You can go, oh my God, look how well they're doing XYZ. That looks easy. It looks easy from the outside, because
you can just be it immediately.
Yeah.
You can be like, I'm a stand-up comedian now because I've done a few gigs.
Yeah. But you haven't actually, and like any skill, you just got to put time in. It doesn't,
and you can't,
you got to put the time in.
You can have sort of goals, but you can't really like expect stuff right away. And the thing is, you never really get the level where you're like, oh, that's me good now. You know, if I listen to like a recording of me like 2 years ago, I'd be like, oh my God, terrible. And if I listen to one 5 years of me now, I'd be like, oh shit, then.
But that's what the whole point is, that you're always moving forward. You know, you're always trying to do it differently.
Straight out of the gate now are like, nah, bro, killing it, recording my special. You know, I've got fucking 12 minutes. Unbelievable.
Sorry.
Fuck you, mate.
Sorry.
Fuck you. What the fuck are you doing?
So I crashed.
What do you mean you crashed? I just hit my head.
Sorry.
No, stay there. I'll call the police.
Okay.
Don't go anywhere. I'm not.
I'm sitting on my
bike.
Don't
go anywhere. Don't go anywhere.
Okay. Look, I'm getting off.
Is it bleeding?
No.
Yeah, don't go anywhere.
Okay, go on, get your phone.
Are you fucking blind? You can't see me.
I crashed.
You crashed? How are you coming fast? Why are you fucking coming fast?
Middle Eastern dudes love spitting when they shout.
Okay. angry as
you bloody bastard.
What is this fucking path? Okay, that, are you coming?
See there, that turned from an accident into a fight when he threw that bike.
I
would just kick his window of his car in.
You hit me, and I just hit the car with my hat. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sorry.
Fuck you, mate.
Sorry.
Fuck you. What the fuck are you doing?
So I crashed.
What do you mean you crashed? I just hit my head.
Sorry.
No, stay there.
I love how he's like, no, stay there. Wait till I get better and then I give you a lot of shit. Now, the funny thing is, Steve Nice sent me this. What's this play? You can't.
Why is there always a song that turned to?
What the fuck are you doing?
Look, I didn't even see you, bruv, and I was in a rush.
Why are you coming first?
Forget it, it's all love, and now you're talking crud.
Why are you coming first?
Bruv, it's not a par.
I just need the car.
And now I'm hearing that you're calling feds on my ass.
Don't go anywhere.
Obviously I can't, bruv, this is all long.
Why are you coming first? Why the fuck are you coming first?
You can't see me.
Why the fuck you coming first?
Why?
Why are you coming first? Why the fuck you coming first?
You come.
That is so much effort to turn these things into songs.
Why are you coming first?
The production value in this video is insane.
Terrible. Why are you coming fast?
Oh, fuck you!
I love that.
Fuck you! Why are you coming fast?
I love that. People just don't. Like, why do you not understand that it was a fucking accident? Like the woman slapping the dude last week. Why? How can she slap? How can she slap? And I was like, how can she slap and not expect to be binned straight after it? That drives me nuts. I hate when people think they're special.
Yeah.
Apart from me. I was watching some of your old videos. You've sheed the beef well. Okay, mate. Thank you. There's a picture of a sexy
cute,
man.
Stop flirting.
Sheed the beef well. Thanks. Stay tuned, you know, it's 90 days till the 3rd of April from whenever I first wrote that down in the book. So we're on the shred down, you know what I mean? I'm starving already, 2 days in.
So, yeah, it's going well.
Having to do a best man speech for my dad's wedding, and I've never done one before, and was wondering if you had any advice so I don't make a cunt of myself. I don't know.
No.
Just watch a lot of fucking YouTube videos of other people doing speeches. And,
no, other people's speeches are terrible.
And basically copy the pattern of it and then say something nice at the end. Go to your dad's wedding. Make a lot of jokes about how many times he's been married. Keep asking him, are you sure?
What would be your advice to like talk sure? in front of groups of people like that? Not without being nervous, but like, how do you do it?
Smile. And
pretend that you're
just
confident.
Don't be scared of silence.
Mm,
if they're listening, if they're listening, it will be quiet. And just take your time. Just break it down into like 10 bits or whatever the fuck it is, and just calmly go through them. You're in no rush. Everyone's listening. You know, you're not being. People want to hear you talk. They want to hear what you're gonna say at the, you know, because it's a wedding and stuff. So just fucking go through it. Yeah, and yeah, just try and even look calm, because there's no point in you being nervous. You're just, I mean, it's not like stand-up where you're under pressure to be funny. You're just talk, just fucking.
Yeah, if anything at a wedding, if you can just say something lovely.
And if you can say something borderline funny, people will piss themselves, because yeah, they're just waiting for like a wee funny bit of funniness. You know, it's not like you, I mean, there's definitely a different mindset if you go to see comedy and someone is like, make me laugh. And they're really, you really have to make them laugh. Whereas there, it's just like, just say something, a few things that are kind of funny and people will laugh.
Just say it like you're telling a story.
Because they're like on your side.
Yeah, that's true.
Podcast topic. The video of the musician in the Cavern Club getting emptied on stage. What would your reaction if that happened at a comedy gig, as punters are more likely to get riled up at a comedian? Did you see that?
Yeah.
The guy singing Sweet Caroline, they whipped his lip. Do you see that?
No.
Oh my God. I cannot fuck. Why
you know what? I see a lot of videos where I'm like, I I've seen the start of this, but I flick past all of them. I can't be bothered. It's too many videos on the internet, is what I would say.
So hopefully this is the clip without someone reviewing it or some horseshit. It's very rough.
Oh my god!
Shouting at Mike.
Sorry, I know that was right. Oh my goodness.
I don't know what the story is, but
what? Why did he do it?
They didn't bother to investigate and tell the whole story. Am I wondering why the guy attacked the singer? A drunken dare? Did they know each other? Didn't like the song? Could this have been a publicity stunt? Why?
Whoa.
The guitar is a Gibson Hummingbird worth $3,000. Yeah, he definitely fucked that up. He should pay for a new one. There's no backstory. You know what I think? You know what I think happened there?
What?
It looked like the guy went to sort of like dance, try and get a girl to dance with him or something. And I think if you listen closely, that this isn't the best clip. But the guy kind of goes, oh, or something like that. Like, because he gets snubbed or something for like trying to get this girl to dance. And then he cracks up and goes around and fucking dump tackles him.
That's a real like...
Psychopath.
Like what...
That's why men...
Would make you do that?
That's why men kill people is through humiliation.
Because they're humiliated? Men
men don't deal with humiliation well at all. That's literally why... Like if you watch those fucking serial killer programs and all, and the guy's like, oh, well, you know, the guy made fun of me in front of a group of people, so I choked them to death outside. Like they just do not like being humiliated. Men don't like being made to feel like a dick. Can't deal with it well.
Well, no one deals with it well, but...
But
would you but imagine...
But men, the follow-on from that is they don't deal with their emotions well.
True.
No one deals with humiliation, but they can't contain it.
Yeah, so this man obviously, whatever he was feeling,
but I'll tell
he
you
didn't
something,
like it.
I'd have beat the fucking cunt out of him, is what I'd have
God,
done.
God, that's so... That's really, like... You I mean, really I, probably hurt him as well.
Well, he wasn't... He completely blindsided him and he landed...
Also, if you're holding a guitar, your arms aren't out to protect you, so he literally just went off in his head.
No, it's what a complete.
Like he went right down really low and like lifts his legs.
Yeah,
what? That's a really specific thing to do as well.
And it wasn't even
it's
like
not a, like he went over and like.
But it wasn't like a joke thing. Because he like fucking kicked him and you know was like trying to fight him and stuff. So,
that's a dangerous man.
All men are dangerous.
Do you know what's weird though? There's probably somewhere in the, you know in years to come someone like meet him and be talking and you'd have no idea he's the kind of guy who would do something like that. No. Do you think about that? Like some people you meet and then you know you find out more stuff about them but and you're like, oh, they did a really weird crazy thing.
There's a lot of times where I'm like, sometimes if you're doing stand up or you're doing performance or something like that, sometimes I think about it a lot where you're like, you're very exposed. You know, like even if you're a DJ, like the amount of fucking assholes hanging over the DJ booth shouting and holding drinks over the gear and you know, play that. No, you're a fucking wanker. No, like, I've heard loads of stories like that where people, like, literally get into rows because they won't play songs. Or people, you know, like, they're at a comedy gig, like, it's my friend's 40th. Will you say something? No. Why? Just say something. And you're like, fuck off. That's not how comedy works.
I know.
But that, again, that's just people going, me?
Yeah.
My thing that I want? I'm afraid it can't happen for the benefit of the 400 people here. But me? You know? About to close at the fucking Limelight, this girl just walks up with a drink. That's for sorting us out with the tickets. Why the fuck? Are you like a fan? Oh, I'm desperate to get the tickets, can't buy the tickets. And you turn up and you fucking ruin the show? You know?
Yeah, that's not fan.
You mouth-breathing fucking dickhead, like. But see that guy? I know that guitar's expensive, but he should have just wrapped it around that guy's face, like. It's fucking...
Wonder what happened to the guy after?
I'm sure, but that's what I'm saying. Why, you know, like, why is there no bouncers? Why is the guy not, like, protected? You know, you see that all the time. Like, Begley, tell me he had to shout at people because they were, like, fucking about with lights and all. And he's like, those lights are thousands of pounds.
Yeah, I had to go over and, like, hold them while he screwed them back on to the
That's things, fucking gross.
Because someone was like, he's these lights that move around, which are really cool, like, and someone was just holding them cause, and, like, stopping them
but
from
it's like,
turning.
It's, like, all that, it's all that shit, like, you know, like, someone runs on stage and the, and fucking Josh from Queens of Stone Age fucks him off the stage. Get off the fucking stage.
Well,
like,
you don't know what they're going to do, I
suppose. What are you doing?
You literally can't trust what the general public will do.
I've seen a few things. Your guy Jeremiah Watkins put up that thing where the guy was giving him shit and then the guy like dick slapped him. And you're like, the guy should have been taken out long before that.
Mm. Oh, I would have had him out longer. But
or like, there's a few comedy clips where the guy's playing a song and someone gives him shit and the guy goes to run up on stage and the guy actually hits him with a guitar. That's like a famous clip.
Should there be a rule, like, if you're on stage, you can do whatever you want to someone attacking you on stage?
There's a lot of loopholes that come under performance. Like, technically, I think it was New York, you could smoke on stage because it was a live, because it was a artistic performance.
Actually makes
even if
sense.
You couldn't, like, smoke in the club,
yeah,
you know, but, yeah. You know what I mean, like if Dave Chappelle comes in and he wants to smoke on your stage, even like, though you can't smoke in the club, you're like, yes, fucking Dave,
fucking smoke,
crack on, bro,
if that's how he gets it out.
Yeah, you would take the fucking 20 grand fine. Darren Frost slams heckler, gets assaulted. I mean, this shit happens all the time, like.
What's your name? Kenny, man, what's your name? Asshole. Oh, you ain't shitting, bud. Yeah, I'll tell you, if you guys don't shut the fuck up, about 200 people are going to beat the living shit out of you. I ain't kidding. Because we got people who can just take you out of here so fast, man. It'll be like you out in the parking lot going, huh? I know. It's the okay state. I seen your license plate. Oklahoma's okay. It's like, you know, it might not be Nirvana, man, but by God, it's okay. Bus station, slap the dick out of your mouth when you're working, do it. Oh, get on up here, motherfucker.
Give me security.
I'm sorry, man. The guy fucking came at me. What do you think, folks?
No way!
Okay, show.
Oh my god.
I love how he's like, the guy came at me, and everyone's like, no. But I'm see if you're provoking anything and it and something actually happens to you, it's your fault. It's, I can't believe he, like some girl outside the fucking, what do you call that, Kelly Sellers. He pushed me! And you're like, you threw a pint glass at his face a minute ago. You fucking psycho. You fucking psychopath with a broken brain. First of all, why are you not embarrassed that you wouldn't just fucking leave immediately? That drives me nuts. People are just fucking pieces of shit everywhere.
But people are wild animals, you forget this.
They're fucking dickheads. I can't stand it.
People are wild animals with no control over their own.
How did your first stand-up gig go? Have you ever bombed? Yeah, the first one went well. And I have bombed. Yeah, many times. The first one went well, second one went well, third one, I was like, I've got this absolutely nailed. Went shit.
You were like, all the comedians were just slagging off.
What are the chances of another Amsterdam gig? Never did a gig in Amsterdam, but I would do one. Whereabouts are you originally from? What is this, bro?
What's your mother's maiden name?
Whatever what happened to Thomas Tanker Smith, Mount Fetter? Sure, we've heard that a fucking thousand times. Does he do anything comedy related? Don't think so.
No. I seen on a YouTube video the other day, someone else asked that. And someone replied, being like, he's already talked about this a lot of times. He doesn't do videos anymore. Yeah. And that's it.
I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not even going to talk about it anymore.
No.
Any open mics or quiet spots you'd recommend to start some stand-up? Yeah, I mean, there's a pavilion. There's a chicken box thing. I think it's an open mic. There's a bunch of open mics.
There mightn't be things labeled as open mics, but there are things you can go to that you can get spots on without loads of experience.
Yeah, for sure. Bird Box Challenge. I don't know what that is. What makes a bad comedian and what pet hates do you have when you're watching stand-up? What makes a bad comedian?
Someone who's not aware of how the audience are taking it.
Yeah.
Remember we said this the other day, one of my pet hates, and I know I'm not a comedian, I'm just saying this, I don't like when people put voices on the whole time.
Yeah.
We talked about this the other night.
Like, Chris D'Elia has one of the funniest podcasts in the world and his stand-up is worse than fucking people who can't get gigs in Laveries.
He puts on a stupid voice
in fucking Australia and fucking,
yeah,
dude, boy, fucking like shit, and the material is shallow as a gypsy's bath.
Yeah,
the material is literally like, what was the fucking thing? I can't even fucking remember. Was that shit? I was that thing and I growled at a baby. I growled at a baby, a grown man, and I growled at a baby. He growled at a baby, and I think, what the fuck are you talking about, you lanky spastic?
What's he doesn't do when he keeps going like, like you, when you're imitating someone else, he constantly puts on a voice.
Yeah, he does that. Like,
I don't know. I can't stand that.
It's like
why.
The Bill and Ted voice. Oh, deep, like, Chris D'Elia is shit at comedy. Shit. It almost seems like a joke. And, you know, this is what happens when you're like a good looking, clean living comedian. The material is fucking, and I'm going to take them out, bollocks. Bollocks, like. He gets away with going, and like, looking all sexy at the crowd.
And the comedy store, you're like, oh my God, Chris D'Elia's coming on. And there's a load of fucking
dumb women sitting there going like, I don't even care what he's saying, I'm going to suck a dick after. Because women, also shallow as a gypsy's bath. All right, Maureen? Fucking retards. Chris D'Elia shit. Just wondering if you're planning on bringing out any general logo hoodies. Yeah, there is. Oh, the logo hoodies. Well, maybe. Yeah, might do it. Went on to Surf Dome to buy a new Carhartt shirt and some swell gear. And you big prick, bought all the XXL stuff, you big munter. Well, first of all, you're a fucking fat munter too, so. Also, I don't buy anything off that. Someone asked me where you buy good hats. And I was like, that's a good site to buy hats. But that's it. I'm going to the recording of your special on Saturday. Can't wait. Hopefully not as many retards as the last one. Whatever happened to Lavery's on Friday? I think we just wanted to concentrate on doing well in our regular clubs.
It was hard to get Fridays too.
Yeah, there's a lot of other shit going on. And there's time regulations or restrictions and stuff.
And there was just a lot of Fridays last year that you were you were doing other comedy, so it was hard.
Did you hear Louis C.K.'s new stand-up? Yep, and it was absolutely fucking hilarious. But because he wanked in front of somebody, he's not allowed to tread on any eggshells at all.
How long do you think it'll be? Do you think people will ever just forgive it and all
he needs to do is just carry on like nothing ever happened. Because if nothing's going to happen with the wanking thing, then who gives a shit? He's still... The joke that he got shit about was about millennials being fucking these vapid, empty, young dickheads with no opinions and stuff like that. And he goes, just because your school got shot up, you think that you have a state. And it was fucking, it was typical Louis C.K. It was like, you know, edgy, which is a shit word. But it was fucking hilarious. It was really funny.
Do you think people are just going to be more like critical of it? Because everything he says now, they're like, absolutely. Well, you would say that.
As soon as that happened, they picked up a bit from Talking Funny, where, what do you call him? Chris Rock goes, you're the blackest white guy that I know. And he goes, am I your nigger? Like that. And they all laugh, fucking Ricky Gervais, they all laugh. So what happens is as soon as you get pulled up on something that is actually fucked up, they go through all your shit. God forbid I do something dodgy, because they're going to be like, see, like, in fact, you have a fucking wealth.
Wow.
I mean, you actually don't have enough time to go through the shit that I've said that'll fuck my career up. But like, yeah, like if I did something horrendous in the public eye, people will be like, and here he is literally on his last podcast saying retard and spastic and the N-word.
Oh yeah, all of them.
Do you know what
yeah.
I mean? So people just go back through it. The fact is, Louis C.K. is absolutely genius. He's fucking a brilliant comedian. And to be honest, if he was playing the fucking Ulster Hall, I would go see it. Because he's such a good comedian. And he hasn't really, I don't think he's done anything horrible. Well, it was just gross. It wasn't like evil. He's just a fucking weird guy. Which is why he's a comedian. And the material's brilliant. And he's... The fact that he would just go out and just do material like that and be like, yeah, well, this is what people want me for. If he softened his thing, people would be like, look at this guy pandering to try and get fans back by, you know, being all PC and whatever. You can't make people happy. If you want to go see him,
you
go see him.
You won't win in
if
that
you,
one.
If you don't go see him. You know?
That's a good way to put it. You like someone like that, you should have gone, he didn't actually break the law, did he? He didn't force anyone to do anything, did he not? Like,
it was just gross. I mean, it's going to get to really the point where thing. It's going to get to the point where like, you know, it'd be like, oh, this guy, like, you know, we're drunk and chatting and he like tried to kiss me and I pulled away and I think he should go to jail for rape. You know what I mean? It's not like, I think, you know, it's just like, it's almost lightening what rape is. You know, the amount it gets like fucking watered down now. You know, all those late night fucking cokehead drunk comedians. And he's like, do you mind if I pull my dick out? And a lot of them said yes. Sarah Silverman and all were like, yeah, I'll fucking watch you have one. Because she's a fucking weirdo too.
Oh, she said she...
Yeah.
Totally worked him.
She sat in on it. They're all fucking weirdos. A lot of comedians are fucking weirdos. And it just so happens that no one said anything for 15 years till the guy's a fucking multimillionaire.
That's always the way, isn't it? Yeah.
There should be a fucking thing where you're like...
So when someone has something to gain from it.
Exactly. Said. And they probably fucked the road. And it's like the Chappelle thing. Like, if a guy fucking, you know, has a wank in front of you, like, even though we asked you and you said yes, and that's ruined your career, he's like, maybe you're fucking not meant to be a comedian. You know, he's like, if that's going to ruin your dream of being a comedian, you're not tough enough to be a comedian. And he wasn't really saying anything about Louis C.K., but he was like, if that ruined your career, if you were like, I want to be a professional comedian, yeah, and that stopped you from being a professional comedian, you shouldn't be a comedian. When did you stop playing rugby? Ages ago. Do you have any more weekend gigs? I don't know. Anyway, I gotta get the fuck out of here because a man's gonna rub my back real soon.
Sexy.
Let me just play this because our boy Bob, what's his name? Bob Einstein? Is that his name? Bob Einstein died today, or died yesterday, from Curb. So we'll play this clip, the best clip from Curb of all time.
Jerry, Marty Funkhouse.
Hey, Marty.
Let me set the scene. It's Marty Funkhouser meets Seinfeld on the set of Seinfeld in the reunion episode, and then he just tells him a joke.
Jerry, Marty Funkhouser.
Hey, Marty, how you doing?
How you doing?
Good.
Want to hear a joke?
No, he doesn't want to hear a joke. We have a read-through.
Yeah, we got
it. Let me just get right through it.
Okay.
A woman's very afraid of the size of her opening.
What is she afraid of?
The size of her opening. So she goes to her mother. She says, what am I going to do? I'm so big down there. When I marry Harry, he's going to divorce me. Her mother says, don't worry, sweetheart. It runs in the family. Do what I did when I married your father. Go to the market, get some raw liver, put it in there. He'll never know the difference.
Oh, my God.
So she does. They have 8 hours of sex after their marriage. She wakes up at 10 o'clock. He's gone, but there's a note on her pillow. It says, my darling Harriet, to think that I waited a year to consummate our love relationship makes my heart beat so loud I'm surprised it didn't wake you up. The only reason I'm not here now, darling, is I'm at work to make enough money to buy you a house, a picket fence. We'll have dogs and children.
Ah, this is not so bad.
Oh, yeah, this is great. Will you finish the fucking joke already?
When the 5 o'clock dinner bell rings, I will be home like the winged gossamer of your love in your arms, your loving husband, Harry.
Ah, that's nice.
P.S. Your cunt is in the sink.
Okay, you told your joke. Let's go.
How good is that?
It surprised me. It surprised me. I had no idea it would be that revolting.
Ladies and gentlemen, please hold the work.
I love everything. Like this.
It's such a perfect bit, that.
You're so loud in the microphone.
Sorry.
It's so good because it's everything. It's like, Larry David's embarrassed that his mate's on set and he's like trying to tell Seinfeld a joke and he's just like, would you finish the fucking joke? It's brilliant. I had no idea it was going to be that revolting.
It's my life.
Let's get the fuck out of here, guys. Cheers for listening. Hopefully the sound was better. Hopefully the video was better. And we are back on track with podcasts for the year. Get this one out today. We'll be back on Tuesday. We'll be back on Friday. You know, and we'll work on improving all the elements. The video, the sound, the delivery. And we will be switching to Spreaker soon. So we'll be able to listen on Spotify and things like that. Okay. Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks, Maureen, for being the guest today.
No problem.
I fancy you.
Oh, my God.
Do you want to say any creamy sausage?
No.
Regular sausage?
No.
Cream?
No.
Okay, I'm going to go now.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.